Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Bobby Scopa from Bobby on Fire. And it is May 15th. And I had to check the calendar just to make sure. It's May 15th, 2025. And I'm sitting here with my friends Curtis Heaton and John Wake. And today we got a good topic for you. It's very timely. But before we start the conversation, I want to remind everyone, I have to put my plug-in for the book, Both Sides of the Fire Line, available wherever you get your books. And also check out the rest of the stories on the podcast on bobbyonfire.com, and has links to the magazine articles and everything else. So, all right, so here we are. We've been sitting here having this conversation. We should have recorded us sitting around the living room talking about it. It probably would be better than the podcast. But I have a couple different topics, but there's so much in the news, that it just seems like to talk about anything else would be silly. And that is about the drafts that have been circulating around. There's been a draft executive order from the White House that hasn't been signed, and now there's language in the budget bill to create a federal wildland fire service to combine all of the five federal agencies. That would be the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Park Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and the BIA, and turn those into one federal wildland fire service. Now, what complicates matters is the U.S. Forest Service is within the Department of Agriculture, and the other four agencies are within the Department of Interior. Now, that is historical stuff. That goes back to the turn of the century, back in early 1900s, and the politics between Interior. That was called the General Land Office back in those days. And there was probably fraud and dishonesty and deceit, you know, and then the Forest Service, they were cutting timber, so then was that a commodity? It turned out to be in Department of Ag. Anyway, whatever the politics was 100 and some years ago, here we are today with a very disjointed and inefficient wildland fire service delivery system. Now, I think the federal agencies, the firefighters, do a good job. I think they know how to operate and work together and dispatch together and that sort of thing. We're going to talk about some of the inefficiencies, but for those of you who don't have a lot of understanding of the background, the way the Forest Service is organized right now is an artifact of the 1910 fires. The 1910 fires burned through western Montana, Idaho, eastern Washington, and burned millions of acres, killed people, and that was really the start of the U.S. Forest Service's fire program in earnest. And the 10 a.m. policy came out of that, and although it was called something different, and, you know, I think 10 a.m. policy didn't come in as a formal policy until, what, the 40s or something like that?
Yeah, 1937, I think, the language was written, and then the 10 a.m. policy kind of came slang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but here we are, and then the other agencies kind of copied the Forest Service because the Forest Service was the big dog, you know. And you see a lot of state agencies having kind of modeled their organizations after the Forest Service, even though some of them have very, very different policies. But, so we were having this conversation, and John said, so this will make, if they had one fire organization, that would make things more efficient in responding. And I said, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference in the actual responding if that were to go through. I think where it makes a difference is in the amount of, right now, the amount of coordination, amount of meetings people have to go to because you can't get anyone to agree you know, to get five different agencies, federal agencies, to agree to something, that's, you know, that's pretty tough. So what's being proposed is to combine the agencies into one within the Department of Interior. Now, you know, when I was still working, you know, 25, 30 years ago, I would have loved the idea of having a one agency where everybody worked for the same agency. We had the same policies. We had the same directions. I loved that idea 20, 30 years ago. Here I am now, all these years later, and now that it looks like something could happen, it makes me anxious, in part because I don't think I trust the folks who are pushing it, because I don't know if they really have the best intentions for the public, for the land, and for the firefighters at heart. So it concerns me, like, what is their motivation? You know, it's kind of like careful what you wish for. And, you know, I was wishing for something like this. But now, what does that mean for the agencies left behind? The Forest Service leadership right now, I think many would tell you, if they had the opportunity to speak honestly and clearly and didn't worry about what they were saying, I think many of them will tell you that if fire is removed from, this is what they've told me, fire is removed from the agency, that could signal the end of the U.S. Forest Service. Now, that is really sad, because I had thought for years, fire was dragging the agency down. Fire was killing the agency, because budgets and work was all concentrated on fire. And in my mind, what ought to be the number one priority for the Forest Service is recreation, water management, and veg management. But fire has taken over. And so I always thought, in order to save the agency, fire ought to be removed from it so that the agency can concentrate on their core mission. But there's people who believe that if fire is removed from the agency, that's gonna be the end. Right now, though, there's so much undetermined. We don't know what's in store. I mean, the agency is getting torn apart and eaten apart. It's like a science fiction movie, something just eating up the agency and killing it. So all the agencies. So that's kind of an introduction to this topic here. So we'll kind of go around and kind of talk about this a little bit more.
Yeah, so we kind of kicked around, you know, what are the obvious alternatives, the obvious, most obvious options for some kind of federal fire agency. And, you know, and this isn't the first time there's been discussion around consolidating either in interior or agriculture. And you know, I think personally, you know, we talked, I think this is a really healthy conversation, because any effort towards efficiency usually makes you a stronger, better person. You know, whatever you're trying to do in life, as you focus on efficiency, you tend to come out of that in a better place if you do it right. But, you know, so what do the alternatives look like? Do you create a new agency? I mean, I don't think that there's a stomach for that right now. Do you consolidate under one? Do you put more emphasis on the states? And so I remembered, you know, post 2001, right, 9/11, one of the findings that came out of the investigation into the terrorist attacks is all the different law enforcement agencies were not communicating and coordinating. So Congress, with support of the administration, created the Department of Homeland Security. Some of you may not be old enough to remember that, but so DHS is a pretty new department, and that was a result of, you know, arguably a catastrophic failure. And now we can debate whether or not that's a good thing. Do you want one law enforcement agency in the country, or do you want your law enforcement agency spread out, you know, in different departments and different bureaus, so there's less, you know, consolidation of power, so to speak? Both really strong arguments. And you could, you know, has DHS worked? Well, we haven't had a major terrorist attacks since then, so you could argue, yeah, it's worked pretty well. Or you could probably point out all kinds of flaws and, you know, in it and remember back what it was like before then. So the idea of consolidation doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to get a better product. But the inefficiencies is what we really hit on. The current inefficiencies, that the amount of coordination it takes, really when you get up to the beyond the state to the regional and to the and national level, of just making some simple decisions about what kind of radios are we going to use.
Right.
You know, what are our training standards? I mean, just the amount of work and the amount of, you know, GS Incredibles that sit around the table and try to agree on language, you know, for one piece of, you know, one piece of effort, it just doesn't feel efficient. So if you were able to streamline, and I think that was the word we liked better, you know, how do you streamline all that bureaucratic stuff to where the end user, right, the boot on the ground, the firefighter, gets what they need as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible, and with the least impact to the American taxpayer.
Yeah. When we were talking about this earlier, Curtis brought up the example of the Phoenix metro area where we're all sitting here. And how many municipalities and
over groups? 50.
So 50 different municipalities and towns within the Phoenix area, and every single one of them has their own fire department. Now, there's one exception, I think, the Arizona Fire Rescue Group. They have a couple. But for the most part, imagine the inefficiencies. And wherever I've worked, I've talked about consolidating, you know, the fire departments. Think about the inefficiencies of having 50 different departments. Now, when I was in those meetings that Curtis just mentioned about you're working with these different agencies and you're trying to come up with training standards, for example, disagreements about what it takes to be an engine boss, okay, or a single resource boss, and the Forest Service would have their opinions, and the BLM and Parks and everybody would have their opinions. And the Forest Service for years had a separate standard. So you might be qualified as a captain with the BLM, and then you take a job with the Forest Service. And all of a sudden, when you get there and the training officer is reviewing your qualifications, well, and we know you were hired as, say, a battalion chief, but you don't meet the quals because, you know, you got to be a task force leader or whatever. And according to the Forest Service 5109.17, you don't meet it, but you met it under the Department of Interior 31310-1. So, for example, now I think we've gotten past that, but that's an example for years how we had different standards. We still have different standards and different policies about how we do business. I think on the ground, you folks that are responding, you respond in a very organized, coordinated manner. Dispatch centers are most often, at least in my experience, most often they're interagency. So we're, I think, most often dispatching the closest resource. But it's at that level of the higher levels within the agency that we are so inefficient. We have to meet and discuss for years to try to come together on agreement for one policy or another.
And it's not just the people, it's the, you said policy. So Interior has different roles in agriculture, and even within Interior, BIA has different roles in fish and wildlife. So again, there's a really strong argument to put all of fire under one set of rules, everybody on the same playbook. I mean, it's hard not to say that's a good discussion.
Yeah, how could it not be more efficient? Now, are there unknowns at this point and we don't know what it might mean? Absolutely. Could this go south in a big way?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. However, so there's lots of unknowns. So On one hand, an argument against this would say land management and fire management is a key part of managing the forests or the public lands. Fire has got to be a big part of that. And if you take the fire organization out of it, you're disconnecting fire management from the land. That's a possibility. And so whatever would come out of this current effort has to make sure that we're maintaining fire expertise, and so that land management plans include fire as a part of it, and so that veg management includes fire. So prescribed fire is still going to have to happen.
Yeah.
Now, is this new organization going to conduct a prescribed burns? Maybe. I mean, depends on how it gets organized. But that would be my desire. You've got the workforce. You've got qualified people. They're there. The Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management and whatever land management agency ought to be the customer. And so that's how I looked at it when I was forest fire chief, is that the fire organization on the forest, like the forest soup, I consider like the mayor. And the district rangers were like the city council members. And I was the fire chief. And I was providing a service to them. Now, that's how I see it. But who knows how the politicians in Washington, especially right now with all the crazy antics that are going on, who knows how they're going to look at it? And are they going to be asking the right questions? Now,
so where's the bill? It's been written or it's being discussed?
It's. I think the bill is written, at least the first version of it. It's the funding bill, and they're putting. So instead of having an EA or having an executive order, instead of doing it through the executive order route, and instead of writing a bill to create this, which would be really a long, involved process, they're putting the language, they're drafting language to go into the funding bill. And if they put that draft language in the funding bill and the bill gets passed, then this is a done deal. But we don't know how it's going to look. We don't know the details, because right now no one knows the details. So there's a lot of what ifs, and it's makes me very uneasy. But let me add some caveats to this. First off, there's going to be a lot of people upset if this happens that are working for the agencies right now. And I don't blame them. I get it. However, I would tell you that I believe the leadership in the agencies have abdicated their responsibility to the firefighters for years. For years. We've been talking about the disconnect between the land management leadership, the Forest Service, BLM, those folks, the leadership at that level, the disconnect between them and the firefighters.
And we also communicate a lot about the stress in the system.
Yeah.
And every year you hit preparedness level 5 and we're on the verge of breaking.
Yeah. Yeah. So this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
And nothing has ever, there's been no approach. I mean, it wasn't the agencies that pushed for the raise in pay for the federal wildland firefighters. The agencies didn't push for that.
It was the firefighters.
It was the firefighters.
Yeah.
And our efforts, the union, the grassroots folks. So I feel bad about this, and for a couple different reasons. You know, I started with the Forest Service in the early 70s. My vision is the old, if anyone ever watched the old reruns of Lassie, Lassie's owner was a district ranger. And that's that romantic version that we have in our head about the Forest Service.
Yeah.
You know? And I'd kind of like to see the agency be able to get back more to that. And I think maybe one way of doing that is if fire isn't bogging it down.
Yeah.
But I mean, right now, of course, the administration doesn't seem to be putting a big priority on recreation, for example, which I think ought to be one of the priorities.
Yeah, you ask most district rangers, and it's recreation.
Yeah.
That, you know, and other than fire.
Yeah.
That is consuming all their time, just the impacts and the needs.
You know?
And that's the great thing about the National Forest, right? It's free. For the most part, you know, and people can go out. I mean, it's amazing that we have this jewel And the investment, we should be willing to invest what we need. So I agree with you, Bobby. It'd be good if the Forest Service could focus on that core mission and not have to become a fire department every, 6-8 months out of the year.
Yeah. Now, that said, I can hear the people leaving comments now, and some of the comments are going to be, well, yeah, but it's all these other people who are augmenting the fire organization, working in an expanded dispatch, working in plans and logistics and finance on overhead teams. And that's 100% right. And how that's going to work, I don't know. But it's not working now. We're losing people. Without all of this crap going on, we're still losing teams. We're shutting down, in every region, we're shutting down teams. We have fewer teams now than we used to, which is why we've gotten rid of the type 1 and type 2 teams and gone just to complex incident management teams, because we can't staff enough type 1 teams. So now we'll say, well, it's not a type 1 fire. We know you were a type 2 team, but now you're a complex team. I mean, it's all a house of cards to some degree right now.
Yeah. I think that a key point, that one of the key points Bobby's trying to make, it's not about the people. It's not even about the agencies. It's about what's best. And the world has changed a lot. The world of wildland fire, I mean, just it's amazing how much it changed in our careers. And the model that was built 100 years ago is not the model that we can sustain going forward. So this is hard not to be emotional about. But if you step back and you look at it again from an efficiency, from the best bang for the taxpayer, the best equipment and the best pay for the firefighters and there might be a better way of doing business. And I just hope we can be open to that and not just set up in camps and it, this turns into an argument or a political debate when it could actually be a really good thing for the American people.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think to keep in mind what you just said is we just all need to keep in mind this. The fire seasons that we have in 2025 are not the fire seasons that we had back in the 70s and 80s and even 90s. So they have changed drastically. And I've told this story on the podcast before, but in, I think it was 2015 or 16, I'm flying around with the chief of the Forest Service, and I was trying to describe, and I was taking him from fire to fire in the region, and I was trying to describe to him that the indices do not reflect the fire behavior that we're experiencing. Those indices are not accurate anymore because they're a rolling average. And as things keep getting worse, well, those indices, 90 percentile doesn't mean the same thing now as it meant 20 years ago.
Right.
So I was trying to describe that to him. And he said, he looked at me like I was an idiot. And he said, well, you just got to get used to the new normal. It's the new normal. You just got to get used to it. And I said, well, Chief, we're doing the new normal with the old normal budget, the old normal workforce, and the old normal strategies, and the old normal everything. So what are we changing? And he lifted his newspaper up in front of him and just covered up his, started reading.
Done,
yeah. Shut up, Scopa. And so that's where we are now. So we've got to do something different. This is not sustainable. Now, it's going to cost more money. Everything's going to cost more money. There's no way you can say we're going to do anything to and save money. Now, we got to become more efficient. Fires are more expensive, and that's part of it.
I see no alternative with less firefighters and less suppression funds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with you. We could be more efficient, and a lot of those efficiencies can be captured above the ground level. And that's what I think we're coming from, is focus on that bureaucratic stuff that can make things more efficient, more cost effective, without impacting the boots on the ground and the firefighters' ability to respond.
Yeah. John, do you got anything you want to add?
No, it sounds like a great, great idea.
Well, that was just three old folks rambling here for the last 25 minutes. This is an important topic, and I hope folks will keep an open mind and not just say, you know, no, we can't do it. It's going to wreck the agencies, or we shouldn't be doing this because it's coming from one administration or another. We got to look. We've been talking about doing something different. We've got to come up with something, a better way of doing business, folks. All right. With that, I'm going to sign off. Thanks, you guys, for listening. I hope this caused you to think. And if you have comments, I would appreciate you leaving polite comments on the website. Thanks very much, everyone.